We're back on Radio Entrepreneurs. We're in the weeds again with Walter Sullivan. Walter and I are a little closer than usual this time.
We're going to sing Sonny and Cher songs.
We already were. Our next guests are Angela Brown and Brian Cusick, co-founders of T-Bear Inc. Welcome.
Thank you. Guys.
Thanks for being on, except when you told me that was my mother's favorite song, Angela. So you guys have started the manufacturing business. Why don't you explain how you both met? Getting into this business and so forth.
Sure. So Angela and I met at college at Fitchburg State University. I was a proponent of cannabis in my later teens and young adult life. Angela was not. We have grown together as spouses, but it was the one sticking point in our relationship until our late 20s, and I'll let Angela take the rest of the journey from there.
Sure. So after years of encouragement from Brian to try cannabis to solve some of my ailments, which were focused on sleeping and digestive issues, I finally gave in. Although reluctant, I decided that the pharmaceuticals I was using were no longer working. Well, they were never working, and they were definitely not healthy for me. So I moved away from those and into cannabis, thankful to Brian's introduction, and it honestly changed my life.
Now, you didn't mention that you're a DARE child.
I did graduate from DARE, and I'll be honest, that's where a lot of my misconceptions, although, came from about cannabis, and it was something that stuck with me far too long in life. So it's become my mission to really educate people on the benefits of cannabis and let them know that it is not the scary plant that we learned it once was.
Now, I didn't plan on going down this avenue, but you actually brought up a good topic. Why don't you explain a little bit what you thought versus what reality is? I find that interesting. Actually,
sure.
We never talked about this.
So, the idea, gateway drug, I think is what it came to, made you lazy, slacker, not driven. And those were things that I was not. So I definitely didn't want to become those. So in my mind and in my decisions, I always stayed away from
cannabis. Until you started dating Brian.
Right. Yes. And it was always something that I would look at him and think he was a little bit different than the stereotype. But, one person in your life doesn't always break the stereotype. It took a few others who around me were starting to use it and have great benefit. And I decided that it was time. And nothing bad could happen, was what I finally decided.
Now, explain how you got the name T-Bear and what you guys are actually doing today.
Sure. So T-Bear is actually the name of our dog. We've nicknamed her. Her name is Tinkerbell, which we adopted her with, and we've nicknamed her the Bear. So that's where T-Bear came from. So T-Bear is essentially a holding company for a house of brands that we're creating for manufactured products. So we're really focused on creating an elevated product line for consumers here in Massachusetts and beyond. What we're really focusing on is organic and natural edibles to elevate the quality and consistency in the marketplace, as well as a line of high quality ethanol extracted vaporizer products.
How did you pick this part of the business to get into?
Sure. So we being in the medical space, both as patients, we really didn't find products that matched our lifestyles and really told a story or had any life to it here in the Massachusetts market. In 2015, we went out to Colorado and started exploring what a more mature marketplace could offer, and really started seeing brand stories and different product identities, and realized that was something missing here in the Massachusetts marketplace, and quickly got to work on putting a company around that idea and bringing it here. And we really see that being the movement of marijuana moving forward as really being focused on branding, product identity, and really product outcome for the consumer.
Now, why don't you explain? I mean, there's a long process in doing this, and I think just meeting you two for a year or more, you've actually been very good at it. Can you explain the pitfalls and everything you had? You have a location and so forth, but everything that went into that.
Yeah, I mean, for one, it's capital. I think there's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it. Of course, you mentioned you have to have your facility. So a lot of it for our disadvantage was being on the capital side, because we weren't heavily capitalized. We were self-funded. We are fundraising now to get us to the next level. But the pitfalls just really came in educating ourselves. It's a brand new process, and everyone was going through it together. And as one of the first applicants to receive a license, we really were at the forefront of going through it with our town. We were one of the first to approach them, putting in our license. We were one of the first. So, and to date, we're projecting to be the first standalone independent manufacturer in the state. So with that, we're experiencing the first in this brand new industry. And that's just been little pitfalls along the way as things and do them differently than you expected.
How was it educating the community you were looking to go into? And how did not only the officials, but when you actually had your outreach meeting and so forth?
Sure. So it was, you know, it was a challenge. This is a new industry we're all endeavoring into together, both on the municipal side as well as the industry side. And it really took, you know, sitting down and going through the different license types, how those impact the community, and really providing some insight and education on how the supply chain will now function when it's decentralized. So it really, you know, took, you know, several meetings and really explaining the processes and how, you know, manufacturing truly functions and differentiation from retail, and really taking the time and, you know, answering questions, making yourself available to those municipal officials. Make yourself, making yourself an aid to the process and a resource for them really makes it easier to, you know, be the expert in your community for it. It makes the process easier at the local level.
Now, do you find, I mean, I find that, you know, the best way to be in business is they get to know you, they get to like you, they get to trust you, and they'll do business. And you both come across very much like that. Did you have people that, no matter how much you approached them, that they were never going to, and how'd you deal with that?
Definitely. So there were a few people in town that, you know, were overall just not happy that cannabis was coming in, and it is home to a medical dispensary, so they have been dealing with it and having those gripes, I guess, for some time. But at the end of the day, there was one in particular, and we just sat down with her, spoke directly to her, addressed the concerns that she brought to the meeting, and we actually left. She was very happy. We shared phone numbers and followed up. And I do think that it's just that whole idea, get respect, and people, they might not walk away and decide to start using cannabis, but they might look at it a little bit differently.
I think that's a really good idea in the sense of really individually talk to people. You know, you may not get them on your side, but at least you can help address their concerns. Now, you are self-funded. I mean, you are looking to raise funds now.
Yes.
But do you find that that was a better approach?
Yeah, I'd say it was definitely a huge benefit for us. You know, a lot of the work that other groups may have, lawyers or lobbyists do on their behalf, you know, Angela and I did that on our own. Our host agreement, we negotiated on our own. Going through the build-out process, we're doing it on our own. So I think it really allows you to really gain insight into the industry, its nuances, really the challenges and those pitfalls you spoke of, and allow you to navigate them in a more, you know, quicker manner than, you know, being kind of isolated from the process.
I mean, I found we had a big cultivator on the show who talked about you have to have lawyers and lobbyists and so forth. And we had Carolyn's Cannabis on the show. Same approach that you two have taken is that we can do it on our own. We have to work hard. We have to educate ourselves, but we can accomplish it.
I think in Massachusetts, that really depends on the community in which you're in. And it's unfortunate that it's not a, you know, blanket approach across the state, but there are some communities where you have to have a lot more money and you have to have a much bigger team. And then I believe there's much more approachable communities that whether they're willing to open their arms a little bit more for whether they want it there, or they need it there, they've made the process a bit easier and a lot more affordable to the small business.
And you don't necessarily have to be in Boston. You don't, you know, there are communities out there that if you have the personality and are willing to really spend the time, the way Caroline and you guys have done, you can find that community and do it on your own.
You have to think about it. There are stores in every single community. There's at least one store in every single community in Massachusetts. So wherever you're located in Massachusetts, there's a community to serve, whether you're a cultivator or, you know, or more a retail. But cultivators and manufacturers have the ability to be kind of wherever. So I encourage, if you're in cultivation or manufacturing, look for those other communities. Everyone could, you know, use the support in the community.
How did you find the community you wanted to go to?
Sure. So it was a process. You know, it wasn't the first community we selected by far. Actually, we're located in Wareham, and when we started this process, Wareham had a moratorium in place. You know, we picked a region of the state we wanted to locate in and started looking at who was putting zoning in place, you know, reaching out to those communities and trying to understand their, you know, their want of these businesses in the town. You know, some of them are putting zoning in place, but still make the process very arduous and they're not embracing the industry. So we monitored Wareham as it was in the section of the state we wanted to be in, quickly saw how fast they were moving on putting zoning together, attended all of their, you know, their bylaw meetings, And as soon as they had the bylaws put in place, we've reached out to them, and they were, you know, they received us very well. But it's hard. It's a challenge. You know, we were touring the western part of the state, found many opportunities out there, but just didn't meet where our logistics map had brought us.
And what about the property?
So the property itself, we were very fortunate. We have, you know, some relationship with the property owners there, but it's, you know, it's identifying in those communities, identifying, you know, different tranches of land that may work for you, and, you know, reach out to five or six landlords in a community, and don't get set on one piece, because it's very competitive, and, you know, it's having plans B and C are always helpful, especially in this industry.
Did you have, that's actually interesting, because you knew the owner of the property, it made it a little easier, but have you found in some of the places you looked that you were competing against people with money? And how did that happen?
Yes, definitely. And it just became something that we couldn't continue. That was early on when we were looking for property. The retainers that they wanted and some to take it off was more of to the highest bidder. Especially back, this was in April of 2018, there was very limited bylaws in place in communities, and there was very little property. So it quickly became a bidding war.
Wow. Thank you guys for all of that. I want to remind everyone, we've been speaking with Angela Brown and Brian Cusick, co-founders of T-Bear Inc. Guys, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and T-Bear Inc., how could they do that?
Yes, please go to www.tbearinc.com, or you can reach out to us on LinkedIn, or you can email Angela at tbearinc.com.
And is there a picture of the dog?
There's no picture of the dog, but if you want to see her, we can make her available.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks again. This has been Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be back after these messages.